All right, let's look at this week's lesson as we enter into a brand new series called Issues of Life, Answered from the Bible. I'm excited about the lesson that we're going to look at this week. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. This first lesson is entitled, Can Eternal Life Be a Present Possession? Can eternal life be a present possession? And we're going to look at a lot of different issues that are so helpful throughout this series, and I know that you're going to enjoy studying through these things. This is the kind of series that lends itself to have a lot of scripture, and that's wonderful. That helps us to base the things we believe on the Word of God and to go to the scriptures and compare scriptures with scriptures. And you'll notice there are a lot of different verses that are given in the lesson this week, and I want you to look them up, read through them. Perhaps you have some people in the class to help you to read those out loud. But there are a lot of scriptures involved because we will try to find these answers from God's Word. And we do find answers to all these issues in life from the Word of God. This first issue is quite important because it deals with the subject of eternal life. And I think you'll see the importance of it as we look at it. Look with me at 1 John 5, verse 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. Perhaps you'll circle that phrase. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There we find that phrase again. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, the Bible says. As believers, we're going to learn something as we look at the scriptures this week. We learn that eternal life is not something we enter into when we die, but eternal life is something we enter into the moment that we trust Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Pastor will say this often as you read through the lesson. You'll notice this key little statement. Eternal life is not a future promise. It is a present possession. And I thank God for that. I have eternal life this very moment, and I've had it since the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior. You say, but you're still alive. Yes, I'm still alive physically, but I'm always going to be alive spiritually because I have life in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that that life that Christ gives is eternal life. Now, by way of introduction, there are a lot of things that we find that are eternal in the Bible. In fact, you notice a little list of them there in your lesson. First of all, of course, we have eternal life. Another reference that we could submit for that is John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I'm glad we have eternal life. The Bible says that we have an eternal God. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27 reads, The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I like that. Our God is eternal. And that's one reason why the life that He offers is eternal, because He's an eternal God with no beginning and no end. He's our wonderful eternal Savior. We read also in the Word of God that we have an eternal power, an eternal power. We read this in Romans chapter 1, in verse 20. The Bible says, For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is a God of eternal power. Isn't that wonderful? Because that big God lives inside of us if we know Him as Savior. We read also that we have an eternal house. You say, where do you get that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 reads, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, the houses we have here on this earth, they're going to fade away. In fact, a lot of them are fading away right now. But the house that I have in glory will never fade away. God says, I have an eternal house. We notice also that we have an eternal purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The things that have taken place in my life and my own salvation, it's not an accident, it's not some afterthought, it's according to the eternal purpose of God. We have an eternal purpose. 1 Peter 5:10 says that we have an eternal glory. And of course, we read also in Jude verse 7 that there is an eternal fire for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. So we read about a lot of things that are eternal in the Bible. But we want to emphasize this week eternal life. For those who know Jesus Christ, eternal life is a possession that they have right this very moment. One familiar verse is John chapter 3 and verse 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life." Excuse me, everlasting life. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." It's a present possession. It's not something he's going to get. It's something he has right now. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Sometimes when you speak to people about knowing Christ and about the eternal life that we receive from knowing Jesus Christ, sometimes they use a little expression, "once saved, always saved." How many of you in the room have heard that before? Everybody in the room, I believe. Once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Some people could mean different things by that, right? If someone means by that, well, you can get saved and live like you want to live and not even seek to please the Lord, then that's not what I would mean by that expression, would you? Because I don't believe we find that that's the way a Christian should live in the Word of God. Now, if someone means by that expression, well, once you're saved, you have eternal life, and that can never be taken away from you, I think I can identify with that, couldn't you? The safe thing to do is to use expressions that we find in the Word of God, because God's words are powerful, and God's words can't be argued with. Maybe instead of saying once saved, always saved, we just use the expressions in the Bible. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." How about that? 1 John 5:11, as we just read, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life." You can't argue with that, can you? You can't misunderstand that. That's just simply the truth, that once we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have everlasting life. It is a present possession that we hold. And we read that, and we find it to be true in the Bible. Some people say, well, this is a dangerous doctrine. This is dangerous because you're going to teach people, well, they have everlasting life right now. You're going to teach people they can go out and live like the devil. Well, certainly we're not trying to teach people that, right? And certainly if somebody thinks that to be true, they've failed to realize some key truths in the Scripture that we're going to emphasize this week. I think when we look at God's Word and we have a spiritual understanding, not just a natural understanding of this, we understand there's some things said in God's Word that help us to see that this doctrine of eternal life being a present possession is not dangerous. It's actually a very blessed truth in our lives. Let's notice those things very quickly. First of all, we notice the truth that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, the Bible doesn't say if any man be in Christ, he's supposed to be a new creature. It just says he is a new creature. That's the truth of the Word of God. Where do we get these new desires that came in our life after we got saved? What about the desire to be with God's people? What about the desire to serve the Lord? What about the desire to go to church? What about the desire to read God's Word and obey the Lord? Where did I get that desire after I got saved? I got it from God. And the truth is, it's not a dangerous doctrine. This is a blessed truth when we understand that people who are saved and who hold eternal life in this very moment are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they have a new desire to please the Lord. Christ Himself can enable us by His eternal power. Remember that? Eternal power? He can enable us by His eternal power to live for Him and to serve Him. We're new creatures in Christ. We have to take that into account. Secondly, we take into account that we have a new motive. In the very same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you want to highlight verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." We have a new motive. Now that we're saved, we have the motive of the love of Christ, and now we want to serve Him. We're constrained by His love. We're pulled by His love. We're urged on by His love for us on Calvary to give our lives to Him and to serve Him. Not to go out and live like the devil because I'm going to heaven. No, we're constrained by the love of Christ to live our lives for Him and to serve Him and to give our very best for Christ. Why? Because we have a new motive once we're saved. We consider, thirdly, that we have a new Father. Look with me. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is a key passage in the Bible dealing with Christians. Hebrews chapter 12, we won't read all the verses that are given there, but if you read verse 1 all the way down through verse 11, you'll want to highlight every time you find the word chastening. Chastening is found again and again and again. In fact, the Bible says in verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." The simple truth is, when you get saved, when you have eternal life, you not only are a new creature and have a new motive, but you have a new Father. And the simple truth is, our new Father is our Heavenly Father. And He doesn't just allow people to live as they please. There's chastening involved in the Christian life, isn't there? You say, well, now you're saved. You can live like you want to. No, that's not what we're teaching. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches if you get out of line, you allow sin to enter into your life, God must chasten. Your new Father, your Heavenly Father must chasten you and must deal with you to lovingly bring you back into His will. And that makes all the difference in the world. That makes all the difference in the world. There's another reason. Fourthly, we notice that we have a new judgment. You ever thought about that? This isn't a dangerous doctrine. Because when people come to know Christ as Savior, there's a new judgment involved. You say, what's that? Well, we know for unsaved people, read the book of Revelation, we know for unsaved people, they'll all stand before the great white throne judgment. But when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read about a different judgment. This is for the saved. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Those that are unsaved are going to be judged at that great white throne judgment, and because their names are not written in the book of life, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. What about the saved? We're not going to be judged for our sin. Jesus took all the judgment for our sin back on Calvary. We don't have to stand in judgment of our sin, but the Bible says we're going to be judged according to the sort of our works. In fact, it says in verse 12, now if any man shall build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He didn't say of what size it is. He said, but of what sort it is. The Bible's speaking of motive here. We have a motive as a Christian that because we have a new judgment, and God's going to judge every work. He's going to see our motives. We'll be tried with fire, and He's going to judge our works at the judgment seat of Christ. And we have the motivation of that new judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, that we might live for Christ and serve Him so that we might have crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus. You see, it's not a dangerous doctrine when you consider the full testimony of Scripture concerning having eternal life as a present possession. Look at the last thing there. The Bible teaches that we have a new freedom. A new freedom. Look in Titus chapter 2 and notice the language of the Scripture there. Titus chapter 2 and notice verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice this. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, the Bible says that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That means we've been bought. He bought us off the slave market of sin. And now we belong to Him. We have a new freedom to serve God. It would make sense to the natural mind to say, well, this is something dangerous to tell people they've got everlasting life. And now it seems like they just go out and do what they want to do. That's what the natural mind would think, but it makes it a blessed truth when we compare it to the truths of Scripture and say, yeah, but when you get saved, now you're free from sin and you're free to serve Jesus Christ because you've been redeemed. You've been bought by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, knowing that we have eternal life, knowing that it is our present possession, doesn't make us want to go out and live for the devil. It should cause us, as we think about these truths of Scripture, it should cause us just to give our lives completely to Jesus Christ here and now, shouldn't it? Why? Because He made us a new creature and He gave us a new motive. And He is our new Father who loves us and works with us. And we have a new judgment that will stand before God in the judgment seat of Christ. And because we have a new freedom, Christ paid the price and He set us free to serve Him and to live for Him. Can eternal life be a present possession? The Bible says, yes, it can. And it is for all those who know the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You for this clear lesson. Thank You for the truth of it. And I pray You'd help us to apply it to our own Christian lives. And may many people get a hold of it this Sunday. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.